All right, welcome back to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. Earlier I figured out how to do like a very great wing whiner, and I'm happy now. Shouts to Ariana Grande. Let's see. But yeah, we've been off for a bit because, you know, life. Mainly life and life. But how is everything going, Jade? Any church announcements since we last met?
I know, right? No, I don't have anything going on. Just chilling out. Nothing new. Nothing. I'm touching things. I need to not touch things on my end. Okay. I saw a pop up and I was like, what's this? Okay. But nothing new on my end. Yeah, no, literally nothing. I'm just keeping to myself, working and on my grind. I was like, that's it. And trying not to be sick.
Now you need sick. Weather
changes.
Oh yeah, that.
Yeah, I got sick last week.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, nothing. There's no cons until next year. I'm gaming every so often. Like when you catch me, you catch me. Astrobot is fun though. That's what I've been streaming mostly, is Astrobot. Very fun game. I like it a lot.
I want to try Astrobot. I said I was going to finish up Visions. Is it Visions? Yeah. Visions of Mana and Romana and starting playthrough Raynitis for my RPG grind, and then I'll like probably play Astrobot as it gets like kind of close to the holidays or something. But I heard a lot of people enjoyed it, and that it might potentially be game of the year, which I respect, but it makes me like a little sad because like I was banking on Rebirth to be game of the year. For once, I wanted a Square Enix JRPG to win. Okay,
like give it to us.
It's always an 11th hour submission.
Oh Lord. But yeah, I think everybody should play Astrobot if they have a PS5. It's because it's like it actually does, like how Mike was saying, it utilizes the system to its fullest potential. So it actually, like, especially the controller, like you actually get all the functionality of it.
Yeah,
so it's like, oh, it's fun. And then the little Easter eggs for other PlayStation franchises. It's cute. But other than that, that's all I've been up to. How about yourself?
Been busy. I've been like pretty open about this, so like I'll just say it again, but summer is a hard time for me. Trying to figure out why, or if there's a deeper cause outside of just being heat sensitive. Specifically humidity, heat. Dry heat doesn't really do it to me as much, but southern humidity heat, I'm just like not doing anything, which is at least half of the reason we've been absent for so long. Because I've been recovering. So yeah, summer is not my season at all. I am a fall winter girly. But outside of that, just been working, staying busy. Do I have church announcements? Not really. More so back on like a pretty regular schedule with gaming and YouTubing. So yeah. And I mean, it's October now and temperatures are slowly but surely coming down. So probably you'll probably see quite a bit more of me like through the end of the year. I know for next year though, we will likely just need summer hours and or summer break. just like FYI in the future. Like, yeah, think I'm just gonna implement that next year. Now it's like, now I know. So
yeah.
But yeah, so busy, not much going on. I've just been keeping up with the news cycle, which has not stopped. it's been, for multiple reasons. Like, I'm genuinely interested. I genuinely care. It's something that even if, what up, Mike?
Mike.
It's one of those, is like, even if I didn't feel like this election would directly impact me in some form of fashion, it would still be something I would want to just like watch, just because I'm just really interested in it. But yeah, this news cycle has been whiplashy, to say the least. But anywho, all of that to say, we got another round of election highlights again. Some stuff I left out because I was like, we only got so much time, and I don't want to cover everything that's happened from early August to now, because it's been a lot. So the highlights, I thought, you weren't married before. Congrats.
Congrats.
Big congrats on the marriage. I just saw you were before. I'm sorry. Congratulations. Congrats. Pretty much word, but not officially. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
I feel that.
But yeah. Yes. So another election highlights. We're not covering everything that happened from August till now. But the highlights of it. As soon as I pull up my headlines. Okay, there we go. Okay. Highlights. So this is also probably out of order. It is out of order. There was a debate, presidential debate, between two candidates, former President Trump and Vice President Harris. The flash poll and polls after, at least regarding the debate specifically, did in fact say that Kamala took the dub in that. If you watched any of it, it would be entertaining if it weren't so scary. She definitely looked younger and more confident and knew how to string words together in a sentence that did not involve wild conspiracy theories. So yeah, did either one answer questions? And the kind of sort, not really, but like, I feel like the point of presidential debates, at least in this era that we're currently in, is not even to answer actual questions, but to score points, and go viral to a degree. So like, yeah. But unfortunately from that debate, we got a new scapegoat, because we always need a scapegoat for when there's a presidential election going on. And this year's scapegoat is unfortunately Haitian immigrants. So because I was said on national stage and on Twitter, that, there were Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio who were eating people's pets. That's not true. Absolutely not true. But because that was said on national stage, and because, that was broadcasted to not only here in the United States, but all over the world, because other people were watching, lots of bomb threats have been called in, to that town of Springfield, and been like kind of overwhelming city officials, town officials who have pleaded to stop, because, you know, that's not true. But also just because, like, now they have to basically loan out resources to the state officers to like escort kids to school and stuff, because of all of the bomb threats that have been going on. against Haitian immigrants. And not only that, but there is a double down that Trump is considering. Well, basically, he said it's going to be a mass deportation of Haitian immigrants, and he was going to remove their temporary protection status, which in fact makes them legal. So, yeah. These are the new, this group is who is the new scapegoat for the election. So, in case y'all were wondering. But, let's see. Anything on that before I continue? Because that kind of turned a little bit, so we'll get back to the levity.
The only thing that came out of that whole Haitian thing, like, it was hilarity, because I forgot his name on Instagram, but he makes all these videos. He's like, so imagine, and like he'll go in on something, but he came up with a rhyme for it. And they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Don't trust these Democrats.
Oh my God.
They lie. And that's a fact. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. I was like, that had me rolling. It's the whole video. It was like, so imagine you're on the presidential stage debating some woman. Oh, but that was so funny. If y'all have to find it on Instagram, it's hilarious. But no, like, that was so idiotic to say. And then when they asked him about it and like fact checking, they're like, well, I saw it on TV.
Yeah. It was like, and now you sound like racist grandpa at the Thanksgiving table, and then your sun's setting. It's time to put you to bed.
Correct. So basically, he sounds like one of his constituents.
That's it. Okay. So moving on. The Democrat coalition, or Paris coalition tent, has expanded all the way to Wyoming to Dick Cheney, of all people. And it was his daughter Liz Cheney, who was third ranking House Republican member, who oversaw the January 6th congressional side of the investigation, and then got primaried out as punishment. But she actually came out and forcefully said, like, you know, this is super important. We gotta protect democracy. So not only am I not voting for Trump, but I'm casting my vote for Kamala Harris. And then within a day, her dad, Dick Cheney, who was former vice president in the Bush era, wrote a memo basically saying he was gonna do the same thing. I just did not think I would see the day when, first off, no disrespect, I forgot he was still alive. Yeah, because he's old. But I just never thought I'd see the day when Dick Cheney would get back into the political sphere and say he was voting for a Democrat. After, you know, he Darth Vader through the Bush era. I mean, it has been an interesting coalition, I'll say that. I also feel like I'm aging myself. I feel like I'm either aging myself quite a bit, or I just sound like a really nerdy, like a really political nerd. I don't know which one is coming off more, but anyway. Any thoughts on old Dick coming out to give his endorsement, though?
Yeah, that's surprising that he came out to. I mean, it is, but isn't, because more and more Republicans are turning against Donald Trump. Like, not the Republican Party itself, but just Trump.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. They, like, he doesn't have the support of his own party.
Old school party.
Yeah.
He still got the support of he still got the support of some that are currently in Congress. If not most, I would say most in Congress.
I feel like those are the people who are afraid of him.
Yeah.
And not so much actually respect him as a politician.
Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, I was like, I'm very shocked. I was like, oh, okay. That's actually a step, because that means the people who, it's kind of like a celebrity endorsement, where there are people that you follow, and there are people, political people that people follow, and that they'll sway their votes to vote that way.
Yeah, I'm interested. I wish there was some sort of crosstab that, you know, asked people how much the X endorsement, like, influence your decision. So, but I don't know if there was ever, I don't know if there are polls that gauge that or not. Because I can't really go by internet, because internet be interneting. So, like, it's like, who the hell knows? Especially when we have all these foreign bots that are trying to influence.
Yes, but we really need something like that, because especially when Taylor Swift, was that in there? No,
it wasn't. But yeah,
Taylor Swift endorsing Kamala, because that's huge. For one, historically, white women vote against what they actually should be voting for.
I was gonna say,
like, they vote against it, not them against it, but like, they don't vote in their best interest.
They don't. I was trying to think and see if there was like an age difference in that, but, or a generational difference.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% certain. I would say that they definitely did that in 2016. I think the Dobbs decision changed a lot of that, though.
Yeah, but sorry, my camera is all smudged up. Okay.
She did also endorse Biden in 2020, to be fair, though.
Oh, yeah. But for them to be like, she did?
She did the cookie post.
Oh. See, I don't pay attention to her whatsoever. So when it broke that they're like, she endorsed Harris, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
I still don't like you that much, but okay.
No. The only reason I remember that she endorsed Biden was because people were mad at her then for the cookie post. And then they've been mad at her because she started dating Travis Kelce. And then now they're mad at her because she endorsed Kamala. I just remember when a swath of white people get mad at Taylor Swift, and I'm like, why are y'all mad? And then I see, it's like, oh, that's why. Okay. That's how I knew.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am being kind of a skeptical realist, just because it's great that all these endorsements are coming in. I don't know if people's minds are actually changed. And there's also been a swath of assistants who are going to the other side. So I was like, it might not be that much of a difference maker. But yeah. Yeah. And when I say going to the other side, I mean like deep diving. I'm just like, what? Anyway. Neither here nor there. cut off your nose to spite your face. Okay, but moving on. Vance is still out here being weird. If you haven't seen him trying to, the clip of him trying to order donuts, then yeah. Look for it, Google Vance Donuts, and that'll tell you everything you need to know. And him saying very much incendiary, inflammatory shit all the time. Let's see. The VP debate actually happened earlier this week between Senator Vance and Governor Walz. The overall consensus in the pundit land and in the editorials was that it was basically, it could be looked at as a statistical tie of who won, but the edge was given to Vance just because he debated like a he debated like a Yale lawyer who's slimy. So really it's kind of like a Rorschach test of like whatever you want to believe, honestly. I mean, watch it for yourself, I guess, if you want to. The big surprise actually wasn't of who won, who lost, whatever. But people were just surprised at how, quote unquote, civil it was compared to what we've been used to with the presidential and maybe even VP debates in the past, or I guess, well, in this era, I should say. So, but also, I mean, you got Governor Walz, who is what they call Minnesota nice, because the stereotype of people from Minnesota is that they're just really nice. It's like they're a step away from Canadian nice, is how nice they are. And then you got Vance on the other side, who will say whatever he wants, or who will say whatever he can to try to convince the people in the room. So, like, I wasn't expecting him to go on a Childish Gambino rant during the debate. And, like, being a Yale grad and a whole lawyer is, like, or having a law degree is, like, yeah, like, not that surprised. He put on that mask for 90 minutes, so he can still really lie, though. Mm-hmm. But let's see. All right, anything to add before I get into the more worldly events that, well, I would say outside events that could affect the election?
Just that Vance is definitely a liar. He's proven to be a liar. When he thought that people were going to fact check, I was telling him about that earlier, that the fact that he thought that they weren't going to fact check him, that shows that he was prepared to lie to the American people. So that right there. But that's all I have on that slimy man.
All right. And then more outside events that may or may not affect the election. Who the hell knows at this point? All right. So you got more details released from the special counsel's motion. The special counsel, Jack Smith, filed a motion to the January 6th case against former President Trump. And they were publicly released by Judge Chutkey yesterday. And so it's one of those things that is kind of reminiscent of when Comey released the letter about Hillary Clinton in 2016, and it kind of brought back at the time in 2016, it brought back the email investigation to people's minds and might have had an effect in the final days of the election. So for this, it'll be interesting to see if it brings January 6th back to the forefront of people's minds. Granted, Comey's letter was like a week and a half before the election. This is like 30 days out. So don't know if it'll change people's minds or not, or if it'll bring January 6th back to the forefront. But a lot, or a couple more details about that. Specifically, the conversations that Trump did have with his vice president at the time, who was Pence, and Pence was basically trying to tell them to, you know, do the right thing, and clearly, you know, he didn't, from what we saw. So but it also kind of shows the intent was had long before the January 6th. So, like, it's very interesting. It's an interesting fall read if you feel like reading 165 pages with some slight redactions. And then the International Longshoremen Association port started a strike late last week. And this is actually very critical, because had the strike had gone on, it definitely would have drove up prices at the grocery store again for certain things, mainly your fresh produce. It might have driven up inflation as well. Fed rates might had to have been cut even more than they were already cutting. It would have, yeah, like at the time when things are cooling down as far as prices and inflation, and we're like coming out of the price hikes and all that, I guess from like post-COVID shock or whatever, the supply chain shock from the strike would have just like jumped everything back up. When the main thing for this election season is economy, not a good thing for the current administration, because as much as Kamala Harris didn't really have anything to do with the decisions Biden made, she's still very much tied to it. It's one of those things, and even the prices going up was kind of out of Biden's control. It's one of those, like, not their fault, but they're associated with it because, like, you know, that's how we do as people. Would've been bad, however, they struck a deal, like, well, 2 hours ago now, to postpone until January. So they're going back to work tomorrow. That said, though, they struck for about, it was actually about a week, so it might take 2 to 4 weeks, for recovery. That doesn't necessarily mean prices will be hiked. It might just be more on the back end, like, say it's a $2 upcharge as opposed to $10, something like that. So yeah, so that happened. That was a scare, just generally, not even because of election. I was like, dear God, I did not want to pay more than I had to for groceries, or just have things on hold. But yeah, that was a major scare, but yeah. And there might be a war that might be happening in the Middle East. I don't know. I mean, I do know because I know what happened that might cause a war, but I really don't know. Kind of sick of one side that keeps antagonizing people, but so yeah, might be a Middle Eastern conflict. Hopefully it doesn't kick off just for general reasons, but yeah, that might happen. People might be deploying, we might be dragged into it. We don't want to be dragged into it, but yeah, that's the thing. And with all that investigations, poor debate performance, 10 expanding, we are still statistically tied in the polls. And honestly, even if you're not a look at the polls type of person, you can just tell the vibe of the election is like, I don't know what the hell's gonna happen. Like, there are some people who kind of felt it, you know, the election's going one way or the other. Even in 2016, when a lot of people were shocked that Trump won the first time. But there are people like me. But there are not just me, but other people who were like, no, I feel like he's gonna win. But yeah, a lot of people this year are just like, I don't know. Because even the stuff I skipped over, still, I mean, even though I skipped over it for the sake of brevity, for this podcast, is like a lot of shit has happened. But yeah, I don't know how things are gonna go at this point. I'm kind of ready for, I don't want to rush it because I'm superstitious in the sense of like, if I rush it, then it might not go the way I personally want it to go. But also at the same time, I'm just ready for it to be over. But I'm not rushing it. I'm letting life play out. But oh my gosh, it's a lot. So, which is why the title of this podcast is, there's no such thing as a slow news week anymore. we'll see. But yeah, your thoughts on the last bit though.
Yeah. Please no war. I'm so sick. Like, millennials are so sick of having major life events happen in our life that usually you're supposed to have like one. And we keep having multiple. So I don't like, and it's, please no war.
I know, right?
please. We had a war all through our childhood.
Yes.
An unsanctioned war all through our childhood. And No. Just no. But this America, Eagles. So, who knows, you know, we, like the metal in places that we should not be meddling, because it's never because for a good intention. It's always because our hand is in another pocket.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not excited for that. It's like, why? But we'll see. See how that goes. Also the strike. Right? Okay, yeah. I'm ready to go back to the years with no political ads.
I am glad we don't have cable. I mean, I see them on Twitter when I scroll, but, you know, the videos are usually muted, so I can just scroll right on past. But, yeah.
Yes. But, oh my gosh. They would take over your TV. I was like, I'm glad I don't, like, same, I'm glad I don't watch cable. But I, for some reason, I don't know who did it. I don't know who hates me, but somebody must hate me, because I got signed up for all the Trump ads that they send you in the mail. I was like, I'm not Republican. I've never voted Republican. I'm not registered as a Republican, yet I get all the Trump mail.
I told you some of us.
All the ads.
There are some of us just crossing over, so they thought they could get you too.
They thought. But God, I don't know where that came from. I was like, who hates me? Who? Gosh. Oh, I like your little TwitchCon badge. But yeah. So ready for that too. Yes, they're wasting paper because it goes straight in the trash.
Oh, Hawk, I know you got it bad because you're in Georgia. I'm sorry.
Yes. That's where all my, like, because I still get the mail from Georgia.
Okay, okay.
That my mom collects. So, like, when I go back, I get all my mail. And, oh, my gosh. It just be like,
yeah,
why? And I'll be looking at her like, why you save it?
It's because your address is in Georgia. It's Georgia. So, sorry, y'all purple now.
I was like, oh Lord. Ugh. I was like, I voted for Obama, so why would you think I voted for would I vote for Trump?
Well, that's the thing. There were Obama Trump crossovers.
I don't know why.
I mean, but,
I wasn't one of them. But yeah, like I have to go down there to vote. It's such a hassle. But I was like, nah, I'm gonna go vote in this election because we actually have somebody. It's a fighting chance. So when it was just Biden.
I was gonna stick my head in the sand. No.
Not gonna lie, I was like, I probably won't vote because it's not looking too hot. But then I was like, Harris, I was like, well, maybe. It's like, okay, we got a fighter in there, cool. So yeah, but. But with the port strike, very glad that they postponed that until January, because like you said, groceries are already high enough. So I was not ready for that inflation. That would have sucked, because it was bad enough when, if everybody remembers with the truckers, that was terrible. So you imagine what it'd be like for the shipping. That's going to be even worse. And that's, I was like, that's everything that they import in. So, and that not only stops things from food wise, but that's like packages, different companies that like handle with international shipping, that would be delayed because my mom, she works with international shipping. I remember last time when they were having issues with shipping and how bad it got. So I'm like, it can get really terrible in across different industries. Mm-hmm. So glad that they postponed that. But also, don't they get paid a lot anyway?
Yeah, they do.
They get paid more than the average American.
They get paid more than government workers. Yeah. It's one of those, it's like, I ain't trying to look at your pockets, but also, like...
But also... I'm looking. Because I don't know how true it is, but somebody posted it and it was like basically a 6-figure salary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. And as a Gubby, we also, our promotion potential does get up, all the way up to 6 figures, but the longshoremen people, their 6 figures is a bit bigger than like regular 9-to-5 Gubby 6 figures. Yeah.
Yes.
I would have to climb up the chain and work another 5 years to get to their average, essentially.
Like, after taxes, they're still sitting comfortable.
Yes.
They're still bringing home a chunk.
Yeah.
After taxes. So, yeah. That's why I'd be like, you're not even in, I'm not in the same tax bracket as you.
I'm not even in the same tax. Wait, or am I? I can't remember. But yeah, if we are in the same tax bracket, I'm definitely on the lower end.
Yeah. I'm like, That's all I kept thinking about was, don't they make a lot? It's kind of like if you work out in the oil rigs, like, don't y'all make a nice little chunk?
But the offset to that is that it's a more dangerous job, so like, and back breaking. So that's the offset of like, do you get paid a lot, but I guess your job is more dangerous than the white collar office cubicle. So like,
But I mean, they get paid more than firefighters.
You right.
I'm like,
I have no rebuttal.
In some places, some firefighters don't even get paid because they're volunteer.
That is true. They're just doing it to be a good person and to work out.
Yes.
When
I moved here, that's what I was shocked about. When like some of the cities that are smaller that aren't big enough to have like their own big fire station, so they're like, oh yeah, like our city's not big enough to pay for firemen, so all our whole firefighter squad are all volunteer firefighters. And I'm like, excuse me, what?
Yeah.
So y'all are doing this for funsies, not for money.
For the love of it.
I was like, That's all I gotta say on that. Like, at the end of the day, y'all still getting paid more than a firefighter. But
Hawk, I know you are tired for the state of the country to coming down to Georgia with more runoffs. At least y'all get a break this year with the Senate race. Yeah, y'all get a break with the Senate race this year.
Yeah.
It's just a big presidential race. All right. Anything else?
On that, no.
The updates generally?
On general updates, no.
Okay. All right. Moving right along now. Uh-oh, there we go. Creator Hub. Again, I'm only doing highlights because a lot of it was just like, I don't really care. it won't affect me, but I'll do the main highlights for like Twitch and creator industry news. So tier one sub crisis have increased on mobile starting this month. Twitch said that they recognize that most people are unhappy with the current mobile app, and they say get over it, basically. They're staying the course and making minor updates to reduce friction because they are basically following TikTok and trying to make the app more appealing to the youngsters, not us. We're the old farts on Twitch. They're trying to get the kiddos. Gen Alpha, I think it is. Yeah. Gen Z and Gen Alpha is who they're targeting, mainly Alpha. So, sorry. Got to deal with the sucky mobile update. All right, Front Page is getting 3 new shelf collections for disabled creators, indigenous creators, and active military and veteran creators. That's great. New patch for DreamCon was added in September. I guess if you are going to DreamCon next year, you get a badge. I don't know. But a new badge for DreamCon was added in September.
They do partner with them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. Makes sense. And then actually I'm gonna skip the raids news because that's like big and that probably to like a slight discussion. I'm gonna go to the creator industry, which makes mainly YouTube. So YouTube has shrunk the size of the YouTube play buttons for subscriber milestones. If you're wondering, you don't get a play button till you get your first 100,000 subscribers. But they shrunk the size of it, so like it's not like super small. It's like the size of an iPad, I guess. And YouTube will allow shorts to be up to 3 minutes long starting October 15th. Again, following TikTok. So yeah, that makes sense. And this was kind of funny. I feel a little bad for him a little bit, but it was kind of funny. So apparently Hassan Piker was kicked out of the DNC in August, which I saw he was there, and I saw he was trying to do interviews and stuff, and people weren't really talking to him. I didn't know he got kicked out.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I kind of am not all that surprised, because even though Hassan Piker is a very big streamer and is like one of the main political news, political guys or political streamers here on Twitch, and I don't know if he like dual streams to YouTube, but here on Twitch for sure, even though he's like one of the biggest streamers who does political news and stuff, and intends to be progressive with his views, I still feel like he's on the fringe when it comes to Democratic influencers, because it still feels like, at least from what I saw, the DNC, it still feels like it's very much focused in on the establishment Dems, and you gotta kind of be in with them. Although, funnily enough, that's why I say you gotta be in with them. While Hassan was kicked out, there were influencers who got the chance to take the stage and like had the pan over to them throughout the convention. So like, but that's it. I tend to not necessarily really like follow a lot of political influence. Well, really any influencers, political influencers, honestly. I kind of just read the news and like in another life, if I had a freer job, I probably would have a separate channel where I would be doing the same thing. But that said, like I don't want to call it extreme, but it wouldn't be as, I don't know what to call it, but it's just, it wouldn't be like far left, far right, which are the big names right now. It would be like very, here's the news, here's what's true and what's not true, take it for how you will. Very even keeled, which doesn't really get a lot of views these days. So like, but anyway, in another life, like, yeah, I'll probably be one of those influencers bringing it out, but I can't do that. I mean I could do it because I'm never in my official capacity when I'm like on here anyway. But also no. it's just not a good look right now. So Yeah, no. And also, people get a lot of hate on either side. I am not inviting that into my house. Anyway, he got kicked out of the DNC. So yeah, that happened. All right, back to the raids news. So raids now count towards the 75 average that you need for Twitch partner. If you're wondering if people had a lot of discourse about that on stream or Twitter, yes, in fact they did. Yeah, of course there was also some grifting as well. Get people to follow you so they can start rating you. But yeah. So raids now count. And you no longer have to like tell people to refresh or put the link to your channel in the chat when people if you get happen to get a raid so that it counts towards your views. Nope, raids just automatically count. This wasn't even said by official Twitter. This was said by, I don't know if they worked for Twitter or their Twitter staff, Twitter, Twitch. I've been saying Twitter this whole time. Y'all knew what I meant. But
You know
yeah,
my heart.
y'all knew my heart. But yeah, so yeah, for Twitch partner. But yeah, this wasn't said by official Twitch. I don't know if this was somebody who worked for Twitch, was a part of Twitch staff when it came to streamer engagement or what, but that's what that's the news now. So, or that's the official word, I guess. So, raids now count. So yay, but there was definitely discourse. There were like people who can who I guess consider themselves like quote unquote OG partners who were like, no, y'all getting it too easy now, essentially. Because they were like, back in my day, 6 months ago, I had to get people to refresh and yada yada. But and then there were even more OG Twitch partners who were like, do you not remember the days when we had to have 500 CCV for Twitch partner? Like, Jill. So, my thoughts. I don't know. I mean, cool with it. I'm not chasing Twitch partner at this point. So if it happens, great. If not, eh. I honestly feel like YouTube's gonna be a big hit for me, before I hit Twitch partner and people will just start coming to see me on Twitch, mainly when I'm playing games, especially if we do get like big Kingdom Hearts news and or a new Kingdom Hearts game within the next year or so. So like that's kind of been my strategy. So yeah. But yeah. But great for people who want to grow on Twitch for sure though. Like I'm not mad at it at all. Any thoughts on raids counting towards 75 average though? Also 3 to 75 is still a big jump. Just saying, but anyway, your
Correct.
thoughts.
Yeah. I can get why people who will fish for raids in order to make their to beef up their numbers versus people who like organically grow their community to get to the partner status. It's kind of like when like celebrities join Twitch and they automatically get the partner status and all that stuff, and they didn't do any work. It's kind of the same thing where it's like he didn't do much other than fish for. Like sometimes it's deserved. Like
Yeah.
there are people, great people who don't have a large following. They just don't have the following. They don't have the community behind them. But then there are people who, like I said, will just fish for raids, and so that way they can beef up their numbers and try to make it look more like, hey, look. I was like, because at the end of the day, you still can't keep up with that with having them consistently come back.
Right.
So yeah. I think that's what I think on that.
Cool. Okay. I ended up picking a couple for just don't care. My bad. I'm trying to find the. I'm just gonna use that. All right. I picked a couple for just don't care. So do we care? that I thought was slightly noteworthy. All right, the Mrs. Trump for now. Anyway, she's releasing a book sometime this month, I believe. Like, maybe tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know when she's releasing a book. She's releasing her memoir called Melania. And there was, she released an excerpt within her book saying, basically expressing how she was pro-choice. Women should have the right to choose. Government doesn't need to be in her business, yada, yada. Like, all that stuff. She also, she also released a video coinciding with that, you know, saying how she was like pro-choice and all that. Great, right? Video was very much phoned in. So I couldn't help but feel like, I don't know if strategists desperately called her to be like, can you please say something? We already read your manuscript. We know you're pro-choice. Can you please say something to help us in this election? Or if she was just like, here y'all go, whatever, and is about to chuck up the deuces. I don't know which one it is. It just feels very phoned in, and like, yeah, she's just here. Also, because she hasn't been on the campaign trail really since the Republican National Convention. Like, maybe like once or twice after that, but yeah, she really hasn't been on the campaign trail at all. So there's that. Also, apparently her rep at CNN, because she was doing interviews left and right with Fox, which makes sense. But her rep, I guess CNN wanted to do an interview with her about her book. Her rep at CNN for $250,000, in order for her to do an interview, and we haven't seen an interview yet from CNN, so I'm guessing they said no.
The audacity. You think you $250 worth? You're not like an interesting person. I think that's what she thinks, that she's like an interesting person just because you were first lady. It's like, no, because no, you're not in the same, you're not held to the same regards as a lot of the other first ladies, like, at all.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, the other first ladies are nice to her. But also, no.
Yeah. Oh. That'd be like me walking up and being like, hey, so pay me for an interview and like any bit of money. And I'm like, they're like, who are you? No.
So, yeah, that happened. Let's see. And then in some good, just don't care. So let's see. The Georgia judge struck down 6-week abortion ban. Of course, this, you know, he struck it down. It could always appeal it, and like it could like be relitigated. But for now, it's struck down. So no more 6-week abortion ban in Georgia. Judge McBurney found that the 6-week abortion ban, which was passed in 2019, violated Georgia's state constitution. And his ruling returns the state to allowing the procedure up until about 22 weeks of pregnancy. He said, a review of our higher court's interpretations of liberty demonstrates that liberty in Georgia includes in its meaning, in its protections, and in its bundle of rights, the power of a woman to control her own body, to decide what happens to it and in it, and to reject state interference with her health care choices. So good for him.
Georgia.
Yeah. It's like, that's great news. But yeah, so that happened. Like I said, is there a chance it'll be taken up again and relitigated and they'll try to pass another 6-week ban? Sure. Or a total ban? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's Georgia. Yeah. But for now, like, it's good that the state court handed down a reprieve.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to take the wins.
Yeah.
That's all. You just gotta take them as they come.
Yep. And then I told Jade I didn't really have anything for weekly roundup. I just didn't because I did. So yes, there were indictments against a couple other people that happened, you know, while we were out that were like pretty recent. One of which can't really talk about. I love to.
We were wondering that over here. We were like, I wonder if, I was like, I don't think so.
My hands are not directly in it. But that said, I still.
But because of the type of case it
yes,
is.
Yes.
I was like, I don't think she can.
Yeah. Yeah. So as much as I would love to, can't. And then the other indictment was about Diddy. And honestly, I don't want to go through that dark hole again because I will come out of it feeling very sad. And wanting to throw up. God, it's just, But yeah.
Oh, Diddy. Oh, the diddler.
Also, y'all's Diddy jokes kind of suck. Online. It's like, it's one of those, like, if you don't do it, at least try to be funny. But it's not even funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, all that to say, I didn't really have anything. We were talking about earlier how we, kind of started getting in white women's business and started watching The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Yeah. If you haven't watched it, I recommend it. It's a good watch. It's messy, but it's good. I am curious. I will say I am curious of how the greater Mormon community feels about that being out, though, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, just because, like, when people think of Mormonism, they tend to think of, like, super ultra-conservative, like, super conservative values and all that, and this is not that. I mean, it kind of is, but not really. Like, it's a toned down Kardashian. It's a toned down version of the Kardashians with no alcohol. Well, no, one of them do drink. Some of them drink on the show. So I can't even say no alcohol explicitly, but yeah, but definitely toned down version of Kardashians. I don't know. I recommend it's a good watch. And they got renewed for season 2.
A little must watch.
Yeah. Let's see. Weekly roundup. I'm trying to think if there was anything random that came. Mooding! I knew I forgot about something.
I know one too.
Okay. But Mooding is such a cute hippo. That was all I had. I was like, I forgot. I knew there was something bubbling in my mind. I was like, Mooding. I use Mooding videos and pictures are like a timeline cleanse for me. When I need it to get out of the political sphere for a bit. But anyway, what's your one?
First of all, because I want to talk about John Amos, that whole situation.
Oh yeah,
But first of all, Jimmy Carter is still alive. They are still carting that man around.
I don't know if alive is the right word. I feel like it's just, he's just
in he's between. He's still present.
He's present, and he hasn't fully passed through the veil yet. Like, he's kind of touching it, but he's like, let me cast my vote, and then I can go on beyond the veil.
Yes. But yes, but John Amos, that whole situation to find that their whole family dynamic is shady.
I haven't had the chance to really dive into it. So what I saw was that, you know, they released the news that he passed and then they were like, he died in August. And we were like, damn, well, I think a lot of people saw was like, you know, his family just needed time to grieve. They'll release it whenever. Like, that was people's initial thoughts. And then the daughter said she found out when we did. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh.
And apparently they've been having legal battles with the brother who had, like, who's he was with.
Oh. Because
the same thing happened with their mom. Like, where he had, like, not like, you know, when you get older and they, at a certain point you have to not take custody of them, but
yeah,
you're the executive, you're, over them.
Yeah, you're a caretaker.
Like, you're essentially, you take, yeah, you're their caretaker. You take, yeah, custody of them in a legal, but in a more legal manner.
Yeah.
And that's what he was to their mother. Mm. And there were, like, a lot of times they, it was the same situation where, like, they didn't get access to her.
Mm.
So the same thing with the dad, they didn't get access to him.
Damn.
And then some girl posting up talking about she put that thing on him.
I saw that. I glanced at it and saw that. I was like, that's just not real. And I kept scrolling.
Yes. I was like, oh Lord. But then they had the picture. I was like, why? Why?
I'm still standing by that shit's not real.
I was like, why would you even say that though? Why?
Hell. You're going to hell. Oh.
But yeah, it's like, that's a whole messy situation with that whole family dynamic and being like, it's not like James Brown where they carted his body around forever.
That was so funny though.
Like, I mean, them people, he was everywhere when he was dead.
Like, I remember, I didn't read it myself because I was a kid, but, like, my family was talking about it. I think my sister mentioned, like, that they had his casket in the living room at one point, just in there.
Yes. Like, after James Brown was everywhere but in the ground.
Yes.
I was like, I remember that, watching the news and be like, why did they have another viewing? For what? Like, put that man in the dirt. Oh.
That was funny.
But yeah. That's all. I was like, this one, it was a whole different thing. It was like, yeah. Yeah. It's messy.
Yeah. Once the daughter was like, basically sent the post of like saying she found out when we found out, it was just like, okay, this is about to be a lot.
But yeah, that was my only thing I had.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't really have anything, and then I remember how cute Mooding was. Like I said, I just look at a video for timeline cleanse.
He's a little aggressive little chomper.
Yeah. But he's so cute. All right. Nothing else though.
Nothing else though.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been another episode of the NBC Talks podcast. We appreciate y'all coming out.